Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to IndiGo's December 2015 quarterly financial results conference call. My name is Daryl, and I will be your coordinator. At this time, the participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow today's management's discussion. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to your moderator, Mr. Ankur Goel, Director of Investor Relations for IndiGo.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. This call is special for us. As you know, this is the first time we are doing this conference call as a public listed company. Today, we have with us our President and Whole-Time Director, Aditya Ghosh, our Chief Financial Officer, Pankaj Madan, our Chief Commercial Officer, Sanjay Kumar, and our Chief Aircraft Acquisition and Financing Officer, Riyaz Peer Mohammed. Aditya will open the call today, followed by Pankaj, who will give an overview of our company's performance. Sanjay and Riyaz will be available for any specific questions during Q&A. Before we begin, please note that today's discussion may contain some statements on our business or financials, which may be construed as forward-looking. Our actual results may be materially different from these forward-looking statements. This will be a 45-minute call, including the Q&A. A transcript of today's call will also be archived on our website. The information provided on this call is as of today's date, and we undertake no obligation to update this information subsequently. And with that, I'll turn over the call to our President and Whole-Time Director, Aditya Ghosh.
Good evening, everyone, and for those folks in the western part of the world, good morning. First of all, on behalf of all of us at IndiGo, thank you to all of you for joining us on this call. As you're aware, we raised about 30.17 billion rupees in the IPO, of which about 17.45 billion rupees in proceeds was received by the selling shareholders, while the balance came to the company. Today, we announced our financial results. We have reported our highest ever quarterly pre-tax profit of 9.33 billion rupees for the December 15 quarter, and a pre-tax profit of 20.18 billion rupees for the year-to-date December 2015, which represents the first 9 months of our fiscal year. We, of course, continue to see significant financial benefits due to low fuel prices. At the same time, we are using this opportunity to lower our fares and stimulate passenger demand. I'm pleased to announce that we are now 101 aircraft strong. Our average fleet age as of December end 2015 was 4.2 years. This is, of course, including the older used aircraft that we have leased to meet the near-term demand while we wait for the Airbus A320neo aircraft, which were to be inducted into our fleet. Currently, we have 430 A320neo aircraft on order with Airbus. As you know, we were to induct the A320neos at the end of December 2015. On the 17th of December 2015, we received a notification from Airbus that the A320neo aircraft, the first of which was to be delivered on the 30th of December, has been delayed due to industrial reasons. We continue to monitor the situation and are engaged in extensive discussions with Airbus as well as Pratt & Whitney, who is the engine manufacturer for the new aircraft. Now, regrettably, on this call, I'm unable to share any additional information regarding when the new aircraft will be inducted into the IndiGo fleet. To the extent that some of you may have additional questions regarding the status of A320neo deliveries, it would be better if you were to address those queries to Airbus and to Pratt & Whitney. The airline business comes with constantly changing factors that have an impact on airline operations. Some of these factors are internal and within our control, and some are external factors over which we have limited, if any, control. Whether the factors are controllable or not, at IndiGo, we aggressively focus on being nimble and deal with issues as they evolve. To address the shortfall in capacity due to the delay in newer deliveries, we've been working on other options, including leasing more used aircraft to mitigate some of the capacity shortfall. To date, we have been successful in signing up short-term leases for 22 used aircraft, including 17 which we have already received, at terms that are acceptable to IndiGo. We continue to look at other short-term lease opportunities. However, we do not intend to sign aircraft leases that do not meet our overall economic hurdles. Switching now to our network, we started flying to the city of Udaipur from November. We have two flights per day from each of the cities of Delhi and Mumbai to Udaipur. Consistent with our network expansion strategy, this is our second new destination this financial year. With this, we now operate 34 destinations in India and 5 international destinations. As at the end of December, we operated a peak of 647 daily flights, including our international operations. Our relentless focus on delivering industry-leading customer service and schedule reliability continues. For the three-month period, October to December 2015, our average technical dispatch reliability was 99.96%. Our average on-time performance was 83.4%. And our average flight cancellation rate was only 0.85%. Again, driven by a single-minded focus of providing a courteous and hassle-free experience to our customers. As you may be aware, the city of Chennai was hit by unprecedented rains in December, and airport operations were completely curtailed for 4 days starting the 2nd of December, with partial operations resuming from the 6th of December. Proactively and in anticipation of the severe rains, we were able to fly out 8 of our 10 aircraft that we normally park overnight in Chennai and deployed them in other markets. During the time that the Chennai airport was shut, we had to cancel 310 flights. In comparison, we operated a total of 56,000 flights in December 2015 quarter. As a result, there was a very limited impact of the Chennai floods on the financial performance of the company. We continue to invest in early recruitment of pilots and cabin crew to not only resource our current operations, but also to cater for our growth. Type-rated airline pilots are a scarce resource, and we have a cadet pilot training program to create a long-term pipeline of A320-ready pilots. Therefore, while this does have a slightly adverse impact on our cost per ASK, we believe that the investment in this very critical bench strength shall serve us well in pursuit of our growth strategy. As of December, we had over 1,600 pilots and about 3,000 cabin crew to support our operations. In other exciting news, we've moved our Learning Academy iFly to a new 75,000 square feet state-of-the-art facility. This facility caters to the training requirements of our operational and non-operational staff. We launched our online learning portal called 6E LMS for our in-flight as well as airport operations team to provide learning on the go, which will eventually lead to further efficiencies. Now with this, let me hand it over to Pankaj for an overview of our financials.
Thank you, Aditya, and good evening, everyone. I'm pleased to report a pre-tax profit of 9.33 billion rupees for December 2015 quarter, which is a 24% improvement year on year. This is our largest ever quarterly profit. On a year-to-date basis, for 9 months ending December 2015, we reported a pre-tax profit of 20.18 billion rupees, which is a 108.1% improvement over the same period last year. Our after-tax profit for December 2015 quarter was 6.57 billion rupees, an increase of 23.7% year-on-year. On a year-to-date basis, for the 9 months ending December 2015, our post-tax profit was 14.1 billion rupees, an increase of 94% over same period last year. Our EBITDA margin, calculated on total operating revenue, was 38.9% for the quarter ending December 2015. This is a 5.7 percent point more compared to the same period last year. We delivered earnings per share of 18.57 rupees in the December 2015 quarter. Now, our business continues to perform well on the back of increased fleet size, robust demand in the market, and lower fuel prices. The lower fuel prices have allowed us to report higher profitability and to offer lower fares, further stimulating the markets and increasing the propensity of people to travel. We added three additional aircrafts during December 2015 quarter. Our total capacity for the third quarter of FY 2015 was 10.8 billion ASKs as compared to 9 billion ASKs in the third quarter of FY 2010-14, which is an increase of 20.1%. IndiGo's total passengers increased to 8.3 million in December quarter compared to 6.5 million in the same period last year, which is an increase of 28%. Our total revenue from operations was 42.98 billion rupees, an increase of 11.4% year on year. Our passenger revenue was 37.64 billion rupees, an increase of 9.5% from the last year. While our ancillary revenue grew faster and saw an increase of 27.1% compared to the same period last year to reach 5.15 billion rupees now. On a year-to-date basis, the total operating revenue was 120.49 billion rupees, which is an increase of 19.3% over the same period last year. Our passenger revenue was 105.28 billion rupees, an increase of 17.8% compared to the same period last year. And our ancillary revenue was 14.7 billion rupees, an increase of 31.2% from last year. Our revenue per available seat kilometers, or RASK, for the quarter ending December 2015 was 4 rupees, down by 7.2% from 4.32 rupees same period last year. For year-to-date December 2015, our RASK was 3.83 rupees, down by 2.2% from 3.92 rupees same period last year. Our average fares have reduced from 5,262 rupees in December quarter last year to 4,517 rupees in December quarter this year, a decline of 14.2%, which reflects the fact that we lowered our airfares as we benefited from lower fuel prices. Our load factors were up from 81.2% December quarter last year to over 84.6% December quarter this year. Our cost per available seat kilometer, or CASK, reduced by 9.8% from 3.48 rupees in the quarter ending December 2014 to 3.14 rupees in the quarter ending December 2015. On a YTD basis, the CASK reduced by 9.9% from 3.55 rupees YTD December 2014 to 3.19 rupees YTD December 2015. This is on account of the average fuel price in quarter ending December 2015, which was lower by 31% than the same period last year. Our CASK excluding fuel was 2.05 rupees for December quarter, which is an increase of 10.8% compared to the same period last year, and 2 rupees for YTD December 2015, an increase of 12.1% compared to YTD December 2014. Inflationary rise in costs, Indian rupee depreciation, component accounting, and ESOPs impacted our CASK. Indian rupee depreciated by 5% against the USD in December 2015 quarter compared to the same quarter last year. You know, while we mentioned this in our IPO prospectus, I would just like to take a couple of minutes to talk about component accounting mandated by the new Companies Act 2013 that we adopted effective April 1 of 2015. Now, the major inspection costs related to engine and aircraft components and other heavy maintenance are identified as a separate component for aircraft on finance lease, and we are depreciated over their expected life between major overhauls, estimated to be in the region of 4 to 12 years. This has resulted in higher depreciation this year as compared to the previous years, where component accounting was not mandated. The depreciation booked in the quarter ending December 2015 was higher by 433 million rupees compared to the same period last year, and higher by 1.28 billion rupees for 9 months ending December 2015. Now, of course, you know, the difference in depreciation compared to the previous year will cease to exist from quarter one of next fiscal, as we'll have a similar comparative available from that period onwards. Similarly, somewhat unique in this quarter, we have also issued ESOPs, for which we have incurred an expense of 237 million rupees this quarter and 407 million rupees for 9 months ending December 2015. We ended the quarter with a total debt of 39.3 billion rupees, all towards aircraft. We do not have any working capital debt. Our debt will reduce further in the current quarter as we part our IPO proceeds to repay the debt towards 8 of our aircrafts subject to regulatory approvals. Our total cash as on December 31, 2015 was 57.46 billion rupees, including the IPO proceeds, out of which 20.97 billion rupees was free cash and 36.49 billion rupees was restricted cash. Our total cash to last 12 months revenue was 35.3% at the end of December quarter, which is equivalent to 4.2 months of last 12 months revenue. With this, let me hand you back to Aditya.
Okay. Thank you, Pankaj. Before we go into Q&A, I'm delighted to tell you that on the occasion of the delivery of our 100th aircraft, we're supporting 100 Mensa kids as part of our celebrations to actively change the lives of some of the most brilliant yet underprivileged children in India. At Indigo, our corporate social responsibility program is called Indigo Reach, simply because it helps us reach out to those in need, not just with our planes, but also with our hearts. We've joined hands with Bandhan to build 400 new schools over a period of 4 years, which will help educate underprivileged children from nursery to class 3. These schools will be in remote rural areas of Assam, Bihar, Jharkhand, and West Bengal. We have launched many more such programs because we believe that while we may not be able to change the world, we have the power to change lives. We also feel privileged by the fact that all the hard work of our employee teams in running a world-class airline is being appreciated. The Center of Asia Pacific Aviation, CAPA, recognized us as the Global LCC of the Year in October 2015. Indigo has been voted as the favorite domestic airline by the readers of Travel and Leisure in November 2015. This is the third consecutive year that we have received this distinction. Our performance is, of course, made possible by the dedication of each and every team member of Indigo who works tirelessly to help us deliver on our promises.
Well, thank you, Aditya and Pankaj. To get in as many questions as possible during the Q&A session, I would like to request that you limit yourself to one question and one brief follow-up if needed. And with that, we are ready for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Michael Beers from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys. Understand the sensitivity around the A320neo delays, but if you could possibly talk about and mine down into the 22 used aircraft that you acquired, I assume that that number includes those that were acquired from Tiger Air recently, and whether or not that the delays are going to impact the prospectus guidance of 111 aircraft at March 31st, 2016, and whether or not that prospectus guidance that kind of shows the delivery schedule, how we should treat that.
Good evening, Mike. Pretty late for you out there, I guess, in Hong Kong. Thanks for being on the call. Yes, the 22 aircraft does include the not only the airplanes that we took from Tiger, but some of the others as well. So out of the 22, we've already received 17, five more to go. We are 101 airplanes today. So yes, we at this moment it looks like we will not hit that 111 number. But as I said on the call, we'll just continue to kind of work away at these options. It depends on whether some of these used aircraft really meet our own, you know, economic hurdles that we set for ourselves.
Okay, and that remaining 5 aircraft, that will be delivered in the first quarter of the year, the calendar first year quarter of the year, or that will be over the next couple of months?
Oh, hi, Mike. This is Riaz Peer Mohammed. Out of those 5 aircraft, 3 aircraft will be delivered in the first quarter of this year, which is the end quarter ending March, and 2 aircraft will be delivered in the quarter ending September.
Okay, but we don't have any clarity as to what you expect the period end, or the fiscal year end fleet count to be, whether, but it'll likely be some number below 111.
Yeah, not any clarity at the moment, and we'll keep you folks posted as we you know, move along this path.
And then just as a follow-up, this is the first real indication that we've seen of yields coming under pressure, and I know you're in effect just giving back some of the fuel benefit, but it was quite pronounced. If you can kind of talk about maybe the difference between the fuel component and which routes are you in fact seeing more competition along?
This is Vithya here again. So I think part of average fares usually have a link with, you know, what's the biggest element of our cost, which is fuel in our case. So you did see some, you know, fares coming down, and it happened industry-wide and I think across the country. So it wouldn't be on a particular route. But yes, if fuel prices stay the way they are, you know, you don't see fares going up in a rush.
Any particular route where you're seeing more competition than others?
Yeah, Mike, this is Sanjay Kumar. So the competition is, you know, generally not so much on the routes. We continue to build up our network based on our overall growth strategy, and we are not overly concerned about the competition at this point in time, certainly.
Thank you. We'll take our next question. It's from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Just as a continuation to Michael's question, could you just give an update on when the new schedule of delivery for the new is?
No update at the moment, Dheeresh. So we'll have to kind of wait for Airbus and Pratt. And as I said, we're in discussions with them. And frankly, that's a question better answered by Airbus and Pratt.
Okay. Can Pratt benefit, can you help us understand that what exactly, in a layman's term, what is causing the delay?
From what we were told, it's industrial reasons. So I don't have any further information on that at the moment.
Okay. And, given the crude, decline, the benefit that, the NEO have, fuel efficiency in a high oil price environment is much more contrasting than in a low oil price environment. So, in terms of the benefit that you get from a sale and lease back, can you just comment on that? How does it work out in this oil price environment?
So maybe I'll, this is Aditya, so I'll take the first part and maybe Riaz can talk about the sale and lease back market. So, when we are ordering 430 airplanes, it's, of course, for a long period of time and over the next 8 to 10 years. And it's not really the next 2 or 3 months, the next 3 or 4 quarters. Absolutely, when it comes to efficiency, the fuel efficiency of the plane, it's quite natural that when the fuel prices are higher, the relative impact of benefit of that plane is more than when fuel prices are at $30. But having said that, we don't know which way fuel will go and whether it will stay at $25 for the next 10 years or whether it will stay at $25 for the next 10 days. But we do know that this is a structural way to attack the biggest chunk of our cost, which is actually fuel. So we remain absolutely committed that and confident that we made the right decision in being the launch customer of this very fuel-efficient airplane. Riaz may want to add something on the sale and leaseback or aircraft financing side.
Yes, hi, Devesh. This is Riaz. You know, we have already financed the first 35 aircraft, the NEOs, the new aircraft on sale and leasebacks. And we are seeing quite a good demand for financings going forward. So I think it's pretty good on that front.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Congrats on good set of numbers. Taking forward from the previous questions, you mentioned that you are looking more at short-term leases going ahead. So could you give us an idea about what is the tenure of these short-term leases that you're talking about? And also relating to that, in case of any delayed capacity addition, so delay in capacity addition is leading to a potential loss of profits, revenues for you. So is there any sort of recourse that you have to Airbus that you can sort of claim for some kind of a liability compensation or something? Like you mentioned, the hurdle rate for taking new planes, just squeezing in the third question. So you mentioned the hurdle rate for looking at the new planes. Could you talk a little bit more about that if you take short-term leases, is that detrimental to margins? What kind of impact do they have? That'll be the question for now.
Hi, Binay. As far as the tenure is concerned, we kind of look at which month it's coming in and which month we want to take it out of the fleet so that it fits as well as possible into our overall growth plan. So, yeah, some are 3 years, some may be a little bit longer, but they are relatively short-term leases as far as the used aircraft are concerned. We are, of course, bound by confidentiality, so I will not be able to discuss what are our contractual obligations or rights and under our agreements with Airbus or Pratt & Whitney. We are in discussions with them. On the hurdles bit, it's not just a question of the lease rentals, but the cost of maintenance, how much are the maintenance reserves, what is the lease factor, and all of these things that come together. Depending on what is the interest rate or the fuel prices, et cetera, that hurdle kind of changes. I guess suffice it to say we'll only do something that is absolutely in the best interest of Indigo and its shareholders and not do anything which will on one hand may increase revenue, but on the other hand, may hit our earnings or something of that sort.
Okay, so is it fair to conclude that when we look at the coming year, FY17, Airbus recently made a statement that they will soon start delivering the NEO. So is it fair to assume that the delay that you're experiencing is only a few months for now? Because, you're taking three-year-long leases, so it does sound like the delay seems more than a few months.
Yeah, well, I'll let you interpret it in the way you want to because, as I said, I'm not in a position right now to give any further details on when exactly the NEO will come into the Indigo fleet. But it's public knowledge that Airbus delivered its first NEO to Lufthansa yesterday. So
because I remember you guys were the launch customer, so you should be ideally pretty much in the front of the queue.
Yeah. So yeah, as I said, we're in discussions with Airbus at the moment. As we go through these discussions, I'll come back to you with more information, but not at the moment, not on this call.
Okay, great. We'll wait for that, and I'll come back in the. Thank you.
Thanks, Binay.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Aditya. Hi, Pankaj. Congrats on the decent numbers.
Thank you.
The cost aspect, I see the 2Q versus 1Q costs on employees and other expenses have shot up despite just two planes being added. So just to understand the reason for that, and even on a, say, nine-month basis, are there any one-offs that should possibly not be there next year, like, for instance, this, ESOPs or any other thing that we might be, or bonuses or something that we might be missing?
Right. So, our cost has gone up. One factor, of course, is that our total capacity in terms of the ASK has gone up by more than 20%. And then, of course, given the INR depreciation versus USD, given that 60% of our cost is underlying the USD denominated, that also had an impact. Over and above that, you know, there are contractual escalations and, you know, inflationary cost increase that has resulted in a cost increase. Specific to the employee cost, there is the ESOPs that I talked about, which is, you know, which had an impact of 8% increase in the overall cost of employees. And other than that, yeah. And, you know, other than that is that, you know, as Aditya mentioned, that, you know, we are always, you know, looking at an early recruitment of pilot and cabin crews to cater for our future growth. Now, while this may impact our cost a little bit, we believe that this is an investment in the future. And, you know, so that's what we do.
So any one-offs? I mean, so this 40 crores in ESOPs is a one-off? Is that...
I would say these are first-time occurring items, but these are not one-offs. So, you know, if you look at, for example, the component accounting and the consequent depreciation that I talked about,
yes,
now, compare it versus the same period last year, you know, it would look like an increase. But as we move on to Q1 of the next year, we'll be comping against the period where we had component accounting. So you will not see that aberration, if I may say. So these are new items in the current financial year, but not necessarily one-offs.
And also, Pulkit, you know, as pilots, you've got to hire many months in advance.
Yeah.
So, you know, we obviously hired pilots and operating crew for a certain number of airplanes that we were expecting to have in Q4 or Q3.
Oh, okay.
And because there's a little bit of a delay there, or whatever is the delay, you have, you know, those people are now sitting at bench.
Good.
But you need that bench because you don't want to get caught where you have capacity and now you don't have pilots and crew to
operate. Absolutely. That helps explain one of the reasons. And secondly, so I think, you know, I'm just trying to understand. So first time the oil price declined in broadly the industry. I mean, this is not this December, previously. Everyone turned around the fleet faster and, you know, we got more ASKs and then they all filled it up. But now, this time in December, again, the oil price has declined to a similar 20% kind of decline. But everyone is at peak, you know, the usage is 12.1, 12.3 hours. No one has much capacity coming in. So why would you pass on, I mean, so why would the industry in general cut prices because you're already probably at high utilizations, high block hours?
It's so market-driven, you know, Pulkit, in some ways. So, and so that's really the reason. And to see, like, you know, obviously fuel prices fell back quite a bit, but average fares did not fall by the same percentage. But of course, it did to some extent. And also going in, you know, Q4 now, this is Q3 is usually better than Q4, so it's more an industry-wide thing.
Would yields be lower in Q4 than Q3 generally? I mean, or you know, this time as you see.
Typically, Q3 is the best quarter of the year.
All right. Okay. Great. Thanks a lot.
There have been exceptions, but yes, that's usually the case.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mohsin Aziz from Maybank. Please go ahead.
First of all, many congratulations. Good results. I've got some minor questions just on the accounting front. Then later got a big picture question. Firstly, with regards to tax, right? It's been a bit of a spike in third quarter. Whoa. Close to about 29.5% effective tax rate. What would be a normal statutory rate that we can pen down into our models?
So, you know, in the previous years, we've enjoyed the benefit of having 22 aircrafts on finance lease, and as per, you know, the Indian Income Tax Act, we get accelerated tax benefit on those finance lease while, you know, of course, those 22 aircrafts continue in our fleet. But we have, we are towards the tail end of exhausting that benefit, tax benefit. And therefore, what you see is somewhat an increase in tax rate compared to the same period last year, which now currently stands at 29.5%.
I see. So with more operating leases, all this tax shelter won't be valid, I suppose, because it's already an off-book item. Is that a fair assumption?
Our bias will continue to be towards operating leases.
I see. Okay. And then, secondly, going forward, do you plan to make a presentation sort of to explain the results going forward? Because there are probably some items in cash flow that we want to be known about, and also balance sheet for future, at least. Just curious.
Well, I'll take that feedback and we can think about it. Not hadn't planned to, but we'll think about it.
Okay. Finally, I know it hasn't been announced yet, but there's so much anticipation from the government's Aviation Policy Act. I mean, we would have hoped that it's out already, but it's not. But I just want to get a sense from your side, what are the things that you're hoping for that's very important or very pivotal for yourself and the industry?
To ask an airline management team what they're hoping for is a dangerous question. We hope for so many things all the time. But
something that's really critical. I mean, there are bottlenecks forming at some parts of Indian airports. There are some, I mean, the imminent problems that everybody wants to try has to be resolved.
Yes. So Mohsen, of course, the policy is undergoing a lot of discussion right now, and the government has not come up with even what is the final proposal, let alone the policy. But I would probably say our hopes are in three buckets. One is better air traffic management, and related to that is things that could create more efficiencies in the system, whether it's air traffic management, slot control, ground handling. That's one bucket. The other is things that could bring down the overall cost of doing business, whether it is fuel tax or airport charges and so on and so forth. And the third bucket would be to create a level playing field amongst all operators so that they all live by the same rules and benefit or have the same challenges. So I wouldn't want to can elaborate any more because of the in the interest of time of this call, but I think those would be the three buckets.
Yeah, those are the key things that I want to hear anyway. So thanks for the answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Srinath Krishnan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Most of the questions have been answered. First of all, congrats on a very good set of numbers. Till date, you know, YTD, we have seen a very strong passenger growth of about 20%. So, you know, for next year, for FY17, what is the sort of growth that you're looking at for the company? And secondly, you know, you mentioned that you're reinvesting some of the gains that you're getting from, you know, lower fuel prices and stimulating growth. If I look at your, you know, revenue per RPKM compared to the first quarter, it is at a similar lines whereas your fuel costs have declined by more than 20%. So is it that for the major routes that you have been able to maintain your fares and it's just that, is that the reason why it's looking that way?
Yeah, basically, this is Sanjay Kumar. In terms of the load factor and the fares, generally what happens is the quarter three is the best quarter of the year, and we tend to kind of optimize our yield in an appropriate way. That helps us in terms of posting the kind of revenue numbers which we have already indicated. But as far as next year is concerned, I mean, we don't want to right now, you know, give you any guidance, just because the market and the other factors may kind of vary from the time today as compared to today.
So it will be unfair on our part when we give you any guidance according to that.
Sure, sir. And also, you mentioned that, you know, it's a, you know, functions of prices is also a function of markets sentiment, you know, in terms of demand environment. But you know, in this non-seasonal environment in January, what is the sort of pricing pressure or weakening of prices you're seeing from your competitors?
So, as Aditya already mentioned, that, you know, quarter three generally is the best. So you can, you know, assume that quarter three is supposed to be the best, and obviously there will be some pressure on terms of the yield and the pricing depending on the demand in the marketplace in the quarter four. And that is what we are looking at this point of time.
Sure. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Alok Rawat from Karma Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, guys. Good set of numbers. Congratulations. I have two questions. One on the component accounting. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Earlier, without component accounting, the expenses were actually being passed through P&L completely. They were being expensed completely, and now they're capitalized and depreciated over whatever is the useful life of the asset for financial. Is that a correct understanding?
So, prior to component accounting, all the major repairs, etc., would be taken as and when they incur, and I'm talking about as pertains to aircrafts on finance lease. Effective 1st April 2015, now that we've adopted component accounting, we identify, you know, these major repairs. We set them up as a component and depreciate it over a period of 4 to 12 years. Which means that in future, as and when we incur these costs, we will be capitalizing it and then depreciating it over the same 4 to 12-year period.
So my question is, then you shouldn't probably have had such a sharp rise in depreciation number. In fact, you should have had a gain because some of the costs that otherwise would have shown up as OPEX in P&L. In terms of repair and maintenance costs, now do show up as a CAPEX number.
Right. So, you know, we have, for the aircraft on finance lease, we have, had this additional depreciation because of the change that I explained. However, for the same corresponding period, there were no major repairs that happened, you know, that we could offset versus the additional depreciation that we had to incur. But again, I mean, this is a timing issue. As we move along in the future years, as those major costs come, we would be then capitalizing it.
Okay, understood. And secondly, I had a question on the visibility of financing for the new plane edition. So you earlier made a comment that about 37 odd planes you have tied up financing. So that covers you for about 2 years of 2 years of additions in terms of your plans as they stand today.
Oh, hi, hello. This is Riyaz. Yeah, these 35 aircraft will take us up to third quarter of 2017.
Okay, and so just a follow up on that. Have you seen any, let's say, for lack of a better word, tightening in terms of the financing for? Let's say one year ago, was financing easier than what it is today?
No, the financing market is very strong. There's a lot of liquidity available in the market. And there are more lessors chasing less deals. So there is a lot of demand, especially for the NEOs, which is a new technology aircraft.
Okay, great. Great to hear this. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Ankur for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining us on this call. I hope you found it useful. You will now disconnect the line. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.